I would invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18. In the Pew Bible, it's page 1031. And we are also going to read briefly from chapter 2 of the Gospel according to Luke, starting in verse 25. But first, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I want to read from Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all the people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and glory for your people Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, this child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Praying with joy. I want to say up front, this is not a call-in show or a TV time where a woman named Joy is going to come up here and pray with you or for you. So, and my cell phone is turned off, so you can't call that and try it either. Though I would say we all need a little more prayer, maybe even a lot more prayer in our lives. Yet we have come here today with many different thoughts, many different feelings, and maybe various expectations for this time together, for the day, and even for the season. We are harried and hurried, made all the worse by the bustle of this particular season, the expectations that other people might have for gifts or of our behavior, or maybe the expectations we put upon ourselves about what we think other people might think. Some of you might even be here this morning as a brief escape from the busyness of the business that surrounds this season of the year. Hopefully, though, you are here out of a sense of joy, especially at this time of the year as we remember God coming in Jesus. Maybe you're here with thanksgiving in your heart. Perhaps some are here hoping for answers to troubling questions. Maybe even with a cry within your own heart, how long, O Lord? Whether one of these is your reason for being here this morning, or there is some other purpose which has drawn you here, This is a place where we just may find that for which we seek when we look to the manger and when we look to the cross. The manger continues to be empty, and yet the one who will come to fill that manger and then fill life is the one who can answer our questions, who can take the hustle and the bustle and turn them into even joyousness. Now, you may wonder about the passage that I read this morning. First of all, 1 Thessalonians 5, as an appropriate Christmas passage. And you might wonder why I turned around and read the passage from Luke about Simeon and Anna. And in a short time, I'm going to read a verse out of the Gospel according to Mark. And you might wonder, why? What do these have in common? There is a common thread. All of them speak about prayer and about praying and the importance of prayer. I'm sure there are times when we wonder how long we must pray and wait for something to happen as a result of prayer, right? In fact, a lot of times it almost seems like the answers to our prayers are just as slow as Christmas, right? But we need to also remember that prayer is more than just a monologue from our mouth to God, what we want and we want it now. It is intimate communication with God, which includes not only speaking, but listening, which, quite frankly, if most of us were to admit to ourselves, not even to our neighbor, listening is not nearly as popular as speaking. And oftentimes, prayer means patience. Patience. A lot of times we don't listen because we don't have the patience, because we're in such a hurry. Or we aren't sure that the answer we might get is what we want to hear. And so we hustle through the prayer. Yet we need to observe the examples that we find here in the writings of Paul, the example of Simeon and Anna, and the practice of Jesus, the one whose birth we come to celebrate at this time of the year. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, "In the morning, while it was still very dark, he," that is Jesus, "got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed." In fact, we will find very often that Jesus will be in prayer, as was his custom to do so, seeking that communication, that connection once again with God the Father. So, now that I've given all of that away, shall we think for a few moments about these passages and what we find here, and what we find here for us when it comes to praying, and praying with joy. You know, you think sometimes that perhaps we pray a long time and we wonder when are we ever going to hear or if God is even listening to us. Think about Simeon here in our Christmas story, when Jesus is about 40 days old and they go to the temple to do the sacrifices for Mary's purification. Simeon was an old man who had been praying for much of his life to see the Messiah. I'm sure that very often Simeon wondered, "How long, O Lord, before this happens? You have promised that one to come. The Romans are in power. They're running roughshod over us. How long, O Lord?" For years he had prayed that Rome would be gone and God's kingdom would come in a restored Jerusalem, very much after the example of the kingdom of David. But Simeon didn't just speak to God, and Simeon did not give up. Simeon had great patience to pray for all of these years. Even the day that Jesus was brought in, this 40-day-old baby, Simeon was found at the temple, praying to God and asking, "How long? How long?" He didn't speak and hurriedly go on his way. He waited and he listened. One busy day at the temple, when everything seemed normal, just like it had always been, Simeon not only prayed, but Simeon was listening when God answered. And when the Spirit led him in to find the answer to all of those years of prayer, all of those years of wondering and hoping for a time of peace, Jesus of Nazareth had been born. Not one that you would expect to be a king like David. But then again, if you think about it, David was from a humble background as well, was he not? He was a shepherd, used to dealing with lambs. And here, the Lamb of God, our shepherd, had been born and was present in the temple. God showed him that answer to all those years of prayer and patience. And Simeon again prayed to God, not a solemn prayer. Simeon prayed a joy-filled prayer. "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen the salvation which you have presented before all the people." He said it joyfully, very possibly with chills running up and down his spine, and maybe even tears coming from his eyes. In this humble baby, he recognized the King of all the earth. And he prayed joyfully to God, and then spread the good news about that answered prayer with joy, with happiness, with renewed hope. Consider also Anna, the prophetess, 84 years old and still praying to see the redemption of Jerusalem. The text says that she was at the temple. She would have been in the court of the women, where she usually was found, praying and fasting, praying and fasting. She had been married for 7 years. Her husband died. And she continued, even with that terrible event, to be found for years and years, for decades, praying and fasting, looking for the consolation of Jerusalem, the Messiah. She spoke and she listened. And in her listening, she received the joyous message of God's good news. The Messiah had been born. And just think, without praying and without listening, both Simeon and Anna would have missed God's Christmas blessing. But they remained faithful. And after she experienced this answer, what did Anna do? The text says immediately she went about telling everyone the good news. She shared it with great joy because her heart was filled with hope and with joy. We also read from Mark chapter 1 that Christmas baby oftentimes found himself in prayer throughout his life. He was often found praying. Early in the morning, while it was still dark, in this particular instance, oftentimes late in the evening. Sometimes those prayers were short, sometimes they were very long. He would go off alone and commune with God the Father and keep himself centered, especially when life was filled with a hustle and bustle, with travel, with Passovers, with Hanukkah, with other festivals. Not only that, Jesus would find himself praying for those whom he led as their shepherd. It's interesting that the lamb becomes the shepherd and leads those who would be shepherds later in their lives as the sheep. Jesus poured out his heart and soul to the Father, listening in order to bring us life in God's presence now and forever. The good news of great joy found by the shepherds when, lo, the angel of the Lord gave them the good news. The Magi who followed the star. Simeon and Anna. That good news that was shared by each and every one of these was also found by the Apostle Paul, one who hated the early Christians, one who fought against that good news that Messiah has come. And later, after he became a follower, that good news of great joy gave him the confidence to pray and to listen in all types of situations. And in the listening, he found the guidance from God he needed for productive living, to share the good news himself with others, to begin Christian churches, to write about living a Christ-like life in a world that oftentimes was hostile, filled with the hustle and bustle and the questions of how long. He also found in that good news of great joy shared by the shepherds and the angels, Simeon and Anna, about Jesus of Nazareth, a foundation for regular and continued communication with God. And in 1 Thessalonians, the first letter he wrote to any church, chapter 5, Paul gives what I have often called the three basic essentials for Christian living. Living like that which is found in Simeon and Anna and Jesus. Rejoice always. And I double-checked this morning in my Greek New Testament to make sure that each of these is actually in the infinitive form. And they are. Rejoice always. Actually, the word kairate means be filled with joy. Always. Regardless of the circumstances, there is a reason to be joyful if we will but listen and look. Pray without ceasing, or pray constantly. Now, that doesn't mean, as I've said before, that doesn't mean that we sit around meditating with our heads bowed and looking at the lint in our belly button. And it certainly doesn't mean that as you're driving down the road, you close your eyes. You can pray with those open. But what it does mean is that we live our lives in an attitude of prayer, connecting with God and listening for the good news that can bring us joy when we are joyless. Give thanks in all circumstances, Paul says. And then he says, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus, to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and to give thanks in all circumstances. When God sent Jesus in the manger, in the fishing boats later, walking the streets and the roads and the hillsides, God sent him so that we might have reason to rejoice and to pray with joy. It is the result of praying and listening to God's good news that gives us hope and joy. As Simeon and Anna found the Christmas gift so early in Jesus' life, though late in theirs, as Jesus communed with God the Father, as Paul was guided into joy even in difficulty, so prayer with God and in joy allows us to live through all of those how long, O Lord, circumstances. To live through them in the good news of the one whose birth we come to celebrate. You know, many people are still looking for the Messiah. There are many who are in need of hope, of peace, of some sense of joy. We want and we really need Jesus, do we not? We need both the baby and the man in special ways. But that can only occur when we pray with joy, when we listen and then do what God's desire is for us. And when we do this, we can find and share the true heart of Christmas. Jesus, the light of revelation to the Gentiles. That's you and me. The glory of Israel and the consolation of Jerusalem. In other words, the joy of God's life in our world, when we can pray with joy and when we can truly believe and say, joy to the world, the Lord is come. And that is our closing hymn, hymn number 270. If you would turn to number 270 as we sing Joy to the World, as we do, our altar is open for any decision that anyone would make at this time in your life or this time of the year, a time of hope, peace, and joy. In the middle of all the hustle and the bustle, in the middle of thinking and writing our lists about what we need to or want to get for so-and-so, or what we need to or want to cook for this or that, or how in the world can we avoid Woodruff Road? Even in the middle of that, may we be able to truly find prayer. Might need that on Woodruff Road. But prayer with joy that makes a difference in our lives and the lives of others. Standing and singing together, hymn number 270, Joy to the World.